Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley. Today's guest, Laura Merle. Hello, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you. I love your stand-up. I love... Now, I found out you have a podcast.
I did. I've had multiple podcasts before, but editing podcasts really is tough, as right. I'm sure you know, and it really got me in my head having to like listen to the full episodes and hear how I speak. I would get really in my head about every time I said like or and I would try and cut out every single one, which was very tedious.
I see. And then it comes out robotic. You say people say you have a robotic voice. Well, this is what's happening. You're taking out the human words.
And some people say I have a robotic voice to begin with. Right. So then it was really ratcheted up.
And I believe you call it your monotoneness. You're like, I'm just energy efficient.
Yes.
I'm ready when something real happens. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
How we feeling?
I just had a party last night.
Okay. How we feeling?
I feel pretty good. I feel like 36 is going to be my year.
Okay. Thing is, with when it was New Year's, I said this was going to be my year.
Oh, shit. We're going to have to fight over whose year it is.
I follow your Instagram, of course. You know, how do you let people know it's your birthday unless you throw out a thirst trap? Good for you. I love it. Can you imagine if... I can't. If I was a kid and then they go, one day you're going to have a pocket computer full of porn. You could just take... Go to your room. Oh, no. Not with all my pocket full of porn. Do I have to go in my room? Oh.
I still grew up in the era where we didn't have like smartphones or even a regular phone in our room.
Yeah, the phone we had, my parents kept trying to sneak into my calls on that landline. Did you ever have that pressure?
Yeah, somebody could just pick it up anywhere in the house.
They were little sneaks. I mean, they stick their finger in there before the receiver picks it up all the way.
I didn't know that trick.
Oh, yeah, my mom did. And then later would be like, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't be making fun of certain people in school or something, like trying to say some lesson without saying you pick up the phone. I'm like, oh, I don't know what you heard. I was working on a play.
My mom would be like, I'm so glad she has friends. People are calling her.
The podcast I heard was called Being Awkward. Is that the name?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had one a while ago called How to Be Less Awkward.
Okay.
And the feedback I got from people is it was entertaining, but it wasn't really helping anyone be less awkward. So I decided to just sort of embrace the awkward thing and make the second one being awkward.
It's funny that you're an awkward person. So you go into stand-up. You worked as an actor in an escape room I'll talk about. Millions of views on TikTok. It just, what is it? Yeah, why that? What's the difference between introvert, extrovert? What are you? What the fuck is happening?
You know, I'm not really sure if I'm an introvert or an extrovert. I used to identify as an introvert, but then I realized I do get more energy from talking to people. It's just that I wasn't talking to people a lot for a while. Right. And now that I've gotten more social, it definitely does... I've noticed I do get more energy from talking to people. But I think with stand-up and comedy, I've always been really into writing, which I think is a huge part of stand-up. And I've always wanted to perform. I don't know exactly where that urge came from, but what I really love about stand-up, and I have a joke about this. I'm not going to go into the bit
I don't care.
Part, but what I love about stand-up, too, is the immediate feedback and the honest feedback. Right. Like, in regular life, there's all these weird social cues and things like that. Right. But with stand-up, either people are laughing or they are not laughing. And that's pretty clear to me.
Right. And the laughter is worth risking depression.
Absolutely. Yes. Because the depression is going to happen either way.
I see. Right, so I'm good with it. Do your parents ever think you're revealing too much, even if it's something as simple as ADHD, never mind if it's something about sex?
Yeah, my parents are not the biggest fans of me doing comedy, but I think it's a little bit less about how much I'm revealing and a little bit more how much I have just not taken my day job seriously enough since I started doing comedy. And they really think I should focus on something that, quote, makes money.
Did that something happen where they went, oh, shit, it is turning into something? Like, are they excited about this special, for example?
I think they have mixed feelings about the special, but they're excited that I'm excited about something.
Yes, do something. Why does it have to be this? But at least it's something.
Yes, they wish that it was my project management day job, but alas.
So when I see this Being Awkward podcast, there's only two episodes on it.
Yeah, I do want to go ahead and make more, but I got anxiety about it.
Is it because of all the editing? One show was about you comparing yourself to ChatGPT. What if you are a robot and how it talks and all that? And you were talking to a friend, so it sounded like when it was clear what the robot was saying, it had to be spliced in. That has to be so time consuming. Is that what made you go, forget it?
Yeah, it was definitely time consuming. I'm really big lately on making reels and TikToks and things like that because you can just sort of diarrhea them out.
Right.
You can just have an idea and they're supposed to be short. So it's a lot less pressure to me. And also a good thing about reels, especially, is if they're not good, it's just not going to show it to that many people. And if it is good and people are connecting to it, it'll show it to more people.
Okay, no way to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of gives you that gambling rush when you post a new thing. Sure. Like, is this going to be a good one or is this going to be one that people don't like or connect with?
But what kind of hassle do you get that I certainly do not get? Is there a lot of DM shit?
I do get DMs, unfortunately. I would say like half the time that a guy DMs me and is like, oh, I just found you. I think you're so funny. It turns sexual later.
Sure.
Which makes me really anxious because I think of being on Instagram as work.
Sure.
I'm not thinking of it as this sexy dating time. And then also another one that's annoying that you probably don't get is any time that my videos do well, then it reaches the incel-y portion of the population who just have to comment like, women aren't funny.
Right. It never fuck with your head?
It does a little bit because every once in a while I'm just like, oh, men hate me. But then I do stand up live and just as many men laughing as women are laughing then.
Well, if you write back like, what the fuck, then chances are they're like, oh, I didn't know you were real. I thought you were AI. And so, hi, that's good. You're the greatest. But anyway, seriously, if you want
to
fuck.
I'm afraid to write back because I don't want to give them the attention that they're seeking.
Of course. But it's so tempting, isn't it?
It is tempting.
So tempting.
There's a lot of shower thoughts I've had of different responses.
Oh, talking to these strangers. And yes. do they always apologize in the shower?
They are so humiliated they can't even think of the next thing to
say. Oh, you got them good.
They just sulk in their mom's basement.
Where were you when you heard the news that OJ died?
I was online. I don't remember what website right now, but I'm constantly scrolling. I'm a big endless scroll person.
This is true. The way companies have Twitter accounts as if they're people. The Heisman Trophy, people that behind giving these awards to the greatest college athletes or the greatest college athlete, the Heisman Trophy. They tweeted out the Heisman Trophy Trust mourns the passing of 1968 Heisman Trophy winner O.J. Simpson.
I think they're missing some details there in the description.
We extend our sympathy to his family. Mm. So they're not being clever or anything.
No.
Oh, my God. Maybe they can separate the art from the artist. He separated the lives from the people. But okay. I mean, he did do good in college. He did do all right. I'm very excited, if I may brag.
Oh, yeah?
Next week on Friday evening, Keith and the Girl will be going back live, and it's stupid, but what I'm calling season two of Keith and the Girl now, I'm going to have templates and camera angles and camera switching, and I got a new megaphone, And I'm very excited. It's on its way. It's on its way. My my old one's getting a little busted, but it lasted like 15 years or so. And I love it very much. And it says just the company name on the side, Pile. Mm-hmm. Whatever I'm getting is the Pile Pro.
Oh.
I don't even know what the fuck that could mean.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. I thought a megaphone was a megaphone.
Right. It propels all the time. Yeah, I don't know. I'm very excited. What if it makes me, what's pro? Maybe I'm infallible. Like the Pope, who can't, like I can't talk shit. The megaphone fixes it. What else could it be?
Yeah, you say one thing and then other words come out.
Right. It'd be funny, like if there's like an evil megaphone, like, or the megaphone works based on when and where you got it. And I'm like, all right, everybody, thanks for coming down. Remember, we got to stick up for the little man.
But quite frankly, all lives matter.
I did not say that. Oh, shit. I did not say that. I'm saying thanks for gathering together. And
What about cops' lives? Cops are people, not corporations.
Where did I get this fucking megaphone?
Scary.
Thank you.
Scary. What could happen?
And scene. Thank you. Thank you. Are you nervous about this stand-up show?
I am a little bit nervous because I'm only doing one show. A lot of times people will do a couple shows and then cut it together.
Right.
And I'm just like, we're going for it. We're doing it. And what happens will happen.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm almost like, you know, music albums, like, live albums, and you hear like a fuck up and it's like, that's even better now.
Yeah. And I have been listening to more comedy albums lately, and every once in a while I hear someone stumble over their words and it doesn't take me out of it.
Right.
If anything, it makes me think like, oh yeah, they're a real person.
They're human. Right. Yeah. I love all the real stuff. Do you ever see stand up and does it make you not want to perform? Like, let's say I'm trying to get inspired to do a stand-up show, and I turn on stand-up, I'm like, first of all, am I the best in the fucking world based on this album I'm hearing? Or do I not get the game at all, and this is the bullshit it's supposed to be? I don't know. Does it ever like, oh, I can't watch, I need a break from comedy, or I'm going to hate it?
I always want to do stand-up, but I definitely get in my head about listening to it too much, because every week, every night, I'm going to shows. And if I'm not booked on a show, I'm doing a mic. And that's just so many hours of listening to local comedy that often in my free time, the last thing I ever want to do is listen to more comedy. So when people are like, have you heard the latest big special from this person or that person? A lot of times I have to be like, no. And I don't think I will. But I went on a road trip recently with my friend Freddie G. We were doing a tour and we listened to a bunch of comedy albums, which really did help pass the time a little more than just music or even podcasts.
Right. Do you do open mics?
I do sometimes still. Yeah. If I'm not booked on a show, I'll do a mic just to keep it fit.
Is it offensive how many people at open mics don't give a fuck? That they go up with their backpack still on their back and they do their couple minutes and then leave.
Every once in a while it gets frustrating because you're working so hard and you take this seriously. And then if people seem like they don't care, I think the worst is when people get up and they're just like, well, I didn't prepare anything.
Right.
I guess I'm just going to keep talking. And you're like, well, why didn't you? And then if you didn't, why did you come here?
Right. Yeah, of course they care. Everybody has to act like they're too cool. At the open mic level, are people supporting, or do fellow comics give people tags, that kind of thing? Or are they secretly thinking they're going to take their job?
Most people aren't plotting against each other, at least from what I've seen. But it gets exhausting after a while because a lot of these mics will go on for 2 hours and you can only sit for so long before you start to go a little cuckoo bananas. And I think that happens for everybody. Like a lot of times they're bucket, so people will pick names out of the hat to pick the order. And if you're going in the early groups, then usually it's pretty good. But when you're in the later half of a mic, woof.
You got
that energy.
Right. I did years ago. I was in a stand-up contest. I won. No big deal. And the night before we had a barbecue, all the people still in it, we had a barbecue at the owner of the club's house. And whenever the guy would leave the room for whatever reason, people start trying to figure out other people's stand-up strategy, which I thought was just doing stand-up. But it's like, are you going to do the same thing as yesterday? Because the crowd will be the same if they're following this contest. What do you think? Yeah, I think I'm just going to do, but everybody's saying this. I think I'm just going to do my same stuff. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll try something new, you know, which I guess is the cardinal sin for stand-up people. And and it's like, you're all lying. Why are you weirdly fucking lying? And of course, the next day is all new, is all, you know, their best stuff, their freshest stuff. And, yeah, but the scumbags, this business, scumbags.
It's tricky with doing new stuff, though, and deciding when something is ready to bring to the stage. Because even some of the best stand-ups I know have not the best hit rate in terms of what, when they think something is funny, is it actually going to be stage funny? Or just like amusing only to you. Right. And so a lot of times you have to write so many jokes before you come up with a really good, tight set.
Gotcha. But then TikTok, fuck them. I thought about it. Here it is. I don't got all day.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes I kind of used online as a little bit of a pre-testing ground. Right. And then I see if something at least like resonates with people and then try to make it into a stage joke. And then sometimes they work on stage. Sometimes it doesn't work at all on stage, even though a lot of people liked it online.
Do you tell people the HTTP? Do you tell people the web address? Like, guys, it's more through the phone.
Yes.
That joke.
So. Let me airdrop it all to you.
Right. What was I referencing that you worked in an escape room? Again, which is funny to me, the anxiety thing, but you're going to be an actor, basically. Mm-hmm. What happened?
So I was playing the part of a zombie, and in this escape room, the zombie is chained to a wall, and every 5 minutes that goes down, you get an extra foot of chain, and you're trying to grab people while they're solving these puzzles. So that was super fun, because I got to make all kinds of noises, like...
Oh, that's good. That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Okay. And you... Mostly we're supposed to crawl around on the ground, which was fun, but so much more exhausting than it seems like it would be. I would wear like knee pads underneath my costume.
Would you ever be tired and be like, 3 o'clock, change the clock to 3 o'clock PM.
Well, sometimes I would get really tired and then just kind of be like, like, which made sense.
Right.
Yeah. There's tired zombie and energetic zombie. But every once in a while, the group would decide to dedicate someone to distracting the zombie.
Okay.
And they would run back and forth in front of me. And then I had to chase them. And sometimes I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I don't want to chase this person.
Did it ever make you worry about humanity when you see up close how dumb some people must be? do you zombie clues to them? Because you're like, this is the dumbest fucking group.
There were some groups that were a little bit questionable. Like there was a couple groups that, so at the end of the situation, I would stand up and bow and say thank you like a normal person and, you know, be out of my zombie character. And there were, every once in a while, there was a group that was visibly shocked that I was a normal person.
Right. The cure worked. Oh my God.
Yes.
I was hearing on your podcast that you're bad at directions.
Oh, so like bad.
Outside, north, south, east, west, trying to go somewhere. I have this problem too. I don't know what it is. But just the other day, I went to somebody's show. I was early. I turned a corner, like walked 2 blocks. Then I'm like, okay, I'm on time now. I'll walk back. I was fucking lost. I wasn't even close the way I was walking somehow.
Oh, no.
What is it? It's a disease, right?
To actually turn my phone around. You know how it won't show like straight forward. Am I describing this right?
To me, because again, I have this affliction. You're holding the phone, and to follow the map, it says go left. And I'm like, well, I got to turn the phone sideways now so that left is straight ahead. And then I go there.
Yeah, there is a certain type of intelligence. I'm not saying we're not.
It's not having it.
Yeah, we are in some ways, I'm sure, where you can like turn shapes around in your mind. And I think that's part of what makes people good at directions. But I cannot do that.
You can't, like if you picture a box, your box can't move?
My box can move a little bit. But if I picture anything more complex than just a square, it's really hard for me to think of the different angles. Like I used to draw a lot.
Right.
And if I could draw something from one angle, but then if I had to visualize in my head how it looked from another angle and try and draw it, which you have to do with cartooning and stuff like that, I just couldn't do it.
I feel like an asshole because when you were talking, I just pictured 17 boxes spinning around. Sorry about that.
All spinning around.
Could you picture a tree and a barn same time?
It's really difficult for me. There's this thing called aphantasia, which I definitely am on that in that realm.
I have a sibling that has that. And that's how I know of it. Yeah. He can't picture two things at once. He can remember like an apartment number, but he can't picture what that door looked like. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Is it like that?
Yeah, it's very foggy in my head. Like I can sort of picture it, but not really. Which I think was my hypothesis is this is why I didn't enjoy ketamine as much as some people do. Because a lot of people say that they see really, really complex, cool shapes moving all around. And I didn't see much. For me, it was just like a deep meditation.
How do you find out that you have this asphyxiation? What's it called?
Aphantasia.
Okay. Yeah, how do you find out?
They're
like, but does somebody say, hey, picture this? And you're like, I can't. No one can. What?
Yeah. Well, for the longest time, I thought people were just being silly when they were talking about picturing really complex things in their head, especially when they were talking about reading books and being able to fully see the world. I thought they were just saying that as kind of like a metaphor for absorbing.
Are you like, oh, everybody I know is Einstein? Okay.
Yeah. And then I slowly realized people meant that they were really going into a different world. And I'm like, well, how are you looking at the text at the same time? That doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's with the direction thing. I'm able to picture the things, but I can picture getting lost. I don't know. Is it a conscious choice that we're not looking around?
A lot of people claim that it's a conscious choice. I do not think so. I'm so glad that we're in the era of Google Maps. Without Google Maps, I don't think I would get anywhere.
Oh my God, I'd have to, yeah, if I was making appointments, I'd have to go early with my printout from whatever that website was. Yeah.
MapQuest.com.
MapQuest. I have 15 pages, and I need every little direction. Oh yeah,
I've done that a couple times because my phone got stolen from me a while back, so I had to walk around to like my shows and stuff with this thick printed out maps.
Picture that's how people had to get around, like they were going to on the Oregon Trail. It's crazy. And we got
it is crazy.
When did you find out about ADHD?
Recently, a couple of years ago. Thank you.
Does it really change things? Like, oh, now things make a little more sense. And I'll take some Adderall. Right.
Yeah, I do take some Adderall, and that definitely helps me a lot. And I think it just makes more sense in terms of I'm constantly someone who's trying to do a lot of self-help and a lot of implementing different systems. Right. And I would have a system that would work for like 3 days really well. And then my brain would just rebel against it and it would all fall apart. And then a little while later, I try to implement a new system. And it kind of makes me more understanding of myself because I'm like, okay, that's just the way that I am. Right. And so I'm also autistic, which is when it's together, they call it ADHD.
Okay. And, all right.
Yeah. And both of, like, learning about both of those definitely makes me dislike myself a little bit less, because okay. I'm like, oh, okay, there are certain things that are just because of that and not just because I suck in a general sense.
Right.
What- like, I've always wanted to be a really well-rounded person. And with both of those, you get, they call it like a hyper fixation or like a special interest okay. in, you have very limited interests and you feel like you have to do that. And that is, I can kind of mark my life by different phases where I was obsessed with one thing in particular and was just focusing on doing that. And then also just like the social difficulties, thinking about it through that lens has been really helpful, because I've grown a lot and now I can have a more normal conversation than I used to be able to.
Is small talk the worst?
Small talk is bad. Yeah. And my building, we have an elevator brag where people do tend to do a lot of small talk. And it's been kind of like trial by fire since I've moved into this building. A lot of mentions of the weather.
Do you have to catch yourself to not be honest and just go, okay?
Yeah, I don't care.
You didn't care either. No one cares right now. All right?
Yeah.
We're good.
And I also have a thing, which is like part of the ADHD, where I take things too literally sometimes, right. Especially like when people are on stage, I'm very good at being like, okay, they're being sarcastic.
Right.
But in everyday life, sometimes it doesn't click. Like I was in the elevator recently and there was a couple with their baby and this older woman gets on and she starts asking them questions about the baby. And she's like, was it a tough delivery?
Mm.
And then she gets off the elevator and the husband turns to me and is like, are there any personal medical questions you'd like to ask my wife? And I initially just went, no, but thanks for asking. And then right afterwards, I was like, wait, he was not opening the door for me to ask.
I see. It even took me a while to not get it.
He was actually upset.
Right. Finding out about an autism diagnosis, did it even affect you in the first place when it comes to empathy or somebody having a bad day? Like, yeah, we all have bad days. Affect you that way?
I feel like with empathy, I am an empathetic person, but sometimes what I struggle with is putting myself in other people's shoes. So if it's a situation that I haven't dealt with personally, it can be a little harder for me to understand where someone else is coming from. Like when I was a kid, I didn't understand why some people were upset that their parents were getting divorced.
Right.
I was just like, I mean, it sounds kind of fun. You get two places to live and
yeah, I wish.
Yeah.
Grass is always greener, you know?
Yeah. And now that I'm older and I've seen, you know, more, I get that. I'm not saying divorce is a good thing
right.
now.
But do you think you're able to understand people's emotions well?
I think, one, when I've experienced something similar, it's definitely a lot easier, which I think is true of most people, but it can be a little bit more intense.
You call somebody up, like, it's like a year later, and you're like, my mom just died, and I get it.
Yeah.
Sorry for you then.
Exactly. Now I'm like, oh, shit, that was bad. Right. I get that now.
You and people's names.
Names are really, really hard for me. And part of me wonders if it has something to do with the mental, like, visualizing things. Because if you visualize someone, I feel like you can get their name to sink in
a little bit more.
But it just goes in one ear, out the other. And I try all the tricks that are like, think of a little rhyme or a little saying when they say their name. But when I'm trying to do that, then I'm just not paying attention to what they're saying next.
Right.
And that's a problem too.
There's no way to win.
Yeah.
What happened to name tags?
Yeah. I wish everyone would just wear name tags all the time.
Well, you know those assholes that are like, yeah, we've met. Or, or you don't remember me, do you? Like, how come you're not insulted by that, A? And no, I guess not. Or I'll
I'm
say,
big on the good to see you as opposed to nice to meet you, because
I fucked up on nice to meet you. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, because I fucked up on nice to meet you.
And
a
I go,
lot.
Well, it's nice to meet you again. I mean, not now.
Every time you meet, you're like a different person.
Right.
New experiences.
What's new? Oh, I don't know. We didn't see each other for 20 years. What's new? Yeah. Here's what people need to do.
Mm-hmm.
They need to go to your stand-up show.
Yes, they really should. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The Flophouse Comedy Club, April 18th. This is the debut special. You're not fucking around. This is changing the game. Tell them. This is changing the way you listen to stand-up comedy, the way it's performed, the way it's enjoyed. You will come. Tell them.
Yes. Come to my special recording. You want to come to
Perfect.
It.
Perfect. thank you so much, Laura. Thank you so much
thank
for your
you.
Time. It's very nice to meet you. You got plans this weekend?
I think... Wait, as in, like, now?
It doesn't matter. Saturday? I was just doing small talk. Good seeing you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much.